We'll do the first and the last verse of page 362. Right, Dalton, would you ask a blessing on the offering for us?
Lord, I thank you for bringing us today. Lord, I appreciate you, Lord, just to stand for it. Then what they leave with is a pinata or a hot dog or hamburger.
But, you know, I appreciate so much, and I know I say this, but I do appreciate so much that Shady Grove's Christmas place. Yes, some of them are nativity plays, some of them are more about like what we consider like modern life situations, but all of it has the gospel at the center of it. We don't leave just entertained with singing elves and wondering why we came.
Yeah.
You know, it's always about the gospel, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I appreciate that very much. Because I can, you know, and I know you said this, there's stuff that you learn about churches as a preacher that you didn't know before you were a preacher, because you just go to your church and it's a good church and you just feel like they're probably all this way. But I have been to places where it might as well, I mean, it could have been hosted by Ed Sullivan or Ed Wynn or somebody like that. Their Christmas play could have been, their Christmas program. But I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so just again, that's very special to me. I appreciate that. So I pray for this. Are there any other announcements?
Don't forget about the candy for Christmas parade.
Yes. Where are we at on that?
Well, we've got all the big lollipops that we need. We still need individually wrapped candies. You want to give Maddie, give to me or Sherry, that'd be fine too.
Okay.
So last year, Sherry Brenda went to Sam's Club a couple days before. Got a big old bucket full of candy. That worked out real well. We still got to buy the bags and stuff too.
Okay.
And we've up to our hand, we're going to do three parades this year.
Yeah.
And we decided to do 3,000 bags of candy.
I'm trying to remember, what is the first parade? December?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So have we got a date for the bag and the stuff yet?
Not yet. Probably the first parade is about the 8th, probably around the 7th, or maybe a week before that.
The women's party is the 7th, so we can't put that one.
It's on Friday night.
Saturday. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We might do it on the 6th, something like that. We'll set a date. I'll get the shares. We'll set a date on that.
Amen. Amen. Remember this. And probably, are we having foundations at the end of this month?
No.
We're not. Okay, because of Thanksgiving, right?
Well, because of Thanksgiving, and also because of play practice.
Right, okay. No, you mentioned that, didn't you?
Yeah, because Sunday nights just happen to be a lot of times where most people can for sure be together.
Yeah.
And so, because of different schedule, and so I give them, you know, to make sure that they got that play.
That's right. I think you mentioned that last week.
Yeah. And like I said, we're not going to do one in December either because it's going to be out there at Christmas.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be doing that.
Watch night.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't decide before
the And that's, I'm sorry, the watch night service starts at 7?
6.
6.
Yeah, 6.
Okay, so do you remember that? Shady Grove's, as far as I know, and in the past we've never had one, have we?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
No,
but that's not surprising. My memory's so bad. But do you remember that? And I know, I'm sorry, you mentioned what preachers were coming. Was it preacher? Who was it?
Preacher Dwight Holmes. It was preacher Rick Davis. It was Randy Good, Ernest Carroll. And then we're having intermission. Like I said, it's not a thing you have to step up while you go. You don't get sick of good times. But we're going to have to have coffee and donuts and whatnot. And then we're going to come back and have Richard Jarrett playing, Richard Cody Woolman, Austin Klein, and Clint Moore.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Remember all these preachers here? Also, appreciate the, we only ended up getting to go one night, but appreciate the meeting. Smarts Grove this week. Appreciate Preacher Neil Walker. Always appreciate hearing him preach. Sunday night, we got to hear Brandon preach. We didn't know. We couldn't make it to that service that night because it was helping Jan. His service an hour early. And one of the kids mentioned it, so let's go down there and we'll get to hear Preacher Neil Walker two nights. Well, a young man going down to Smarts Grove named Caleb Cook preached his first sermon that night, so we got to hear a first sermon. Wasn't even planning on it, did it? I mean, it was a real, real good, clear presentation of the gospel. You know, he was like, how many people's first messages were in about 8 minutes, right? He seemed like he was a little bothered by it. I was like, well, man, don't even think about that. That's what we all want. Real good message. So. That's what Preacher Pat said. Now you look down at your watch and go, it can't have been that long. So do pray for him. His name is Caleb Cook. So just pray that the Lord will use him. So that's two young preachers out of Smart's Grove recently, Preacher Jesse Smart and then Preacher Caleb. So just pray that God will use them and make opportunities for them. And that's, I know that's an encouragement to me, to see God calling more young men to be preachers. I feel like that was another. So the men and women's Christmas get together is December 7th, you said?
Yes.
And that's at what time? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. So bring that. We always look forward to that. Always a real good time of fellowship. If Lord sees fit to let us make it that far. And if not, hopefully that means for 10, we're having Mary's Supper of the Lamb, which would be way better. So remember that. Who's got a request for prayer? I'll look at him this week. So the men always, the women cook and they bring their stuff, and then the men go out to eat, and then we come back and eat what they have left, usually desserts. So I feel like that's a pretty good arrangement.
Ms. Savannah, when she walks,
yes.
Next Sunday,
17th. Oh, you're doing on 17th, okay. Sure. Yes, just in case anybody could hear that, I said, have you, if you want her to take your shoebox, have you by the 17th. The collection week is the 18th through the 25th, so she'll be taking the Lord willing. There are a few more boxes out there if anybody needs them. And then just remember, if for whatever reason you can't make it here in time for Ms. Ed to be able to take them, if you go on their website, they will list all of the drop-off locations, and there's plenty of them around. You'll be able to find a spot. That'd be it. Is that a week from today?
Yeah,
so remember that. That's a week from today. So be much in prayer for that. I know several of us mentioned requests this morning. Ms. Terry mentioned that Ms. Barbara, she does have her surgery scheduled. So when you say the 4th or 11th, I'm assuming both of those are December, whichever day it happens to be. Okay, so remember that if you would. I know we've kind of mentioned it. It's kind of a big deal. There were several doctors involved in deciding whether or not it was likely she would be able to do the surgery. But I think that the conclusion that she has come to is that it's worth the risk for the relief, relative relief that she might get from it. So pray that God would work in that. Pray for Brother Gary. I know he's really been struggling about it and stuff. So pray for him. And I know there's several we've been praying for recently. Appreciate Ms. Karen getting to be back with us this morning. I know we've been missing her, and just appreciate that we're helping her with her surgery. And I don't know, I guess, is anybody, I was wondering about Brother Randy Lawman. Has anybody heard from him, Mr. Park? How far?
Yeah.
How well he's doing. I guess I thought the hope was that eventually he might actually be able to come back to church and stuff, get good enough to do that. I don't know how close that is.
I know. I've had talked to him several weeks. I talked to him back in the storm room period.
Okay.
But, he was doing a lot better than he had been before the surgery. And, he said that that was his hope, to be able to get back out and have somewhat of a life again.
Yeah.
You know, he's been just really in a lot of pain. Not able to do much enough, not even around the house or anywhere. So
yeah,
it is pray for him.
Amen. Continue to remember Brother Robert. I see he's not here this morning. He's been still struggling on and off with stuff. And remember Jan, if you would. She did find out this week that she has cancer in multiple places. So Christina is supposed to be meeting with the doctor tomorrow to get this full description of the details that they have. So just pray for her, especially pray for her soul, that the Lord would deal with her on that. And there are other family situations still that I'm going to say they're kind of in a fluid state. So just pray that God would just work all that out, because this is far beyond us. I don't even have any delusions that we're going to fix any of this stuff. At one time I thought I was going to, you know, be the man, right, march in and just fix everything and tell everybody how everything needs to be. And Lord, let me see pretty quickly that this, there's not even any sense of thinking that I can't fix any of that. So, you know, just pray that the Lord would take care of that situation there. And pray for Christina too. We're pretty sure she has shingles. She had kind of some weird symptoms that finally started to come clear what it probably is. So she's going to have to go to the doctor this week. I've got this sinus thing, so. So pray for me on that. But the youngins are all good as far as we know, so we thank the Lord for that. Appreciate looking up children being. Well, again, you know, they had to sit out in the car on Wednesday, and that's no fun, but appreciate the Lord helping them. Who else has got a request this morning?
I asked for a prayer from
Mr. Vance, my neighbor last Sunday, had two heart attacks, he passed away. I say, don't know whether he was saved or not, but he did pass away.
Amen. Remember this family. Remember the family of the girl that was killed over, it was in Eastburg, wasn't it? Did you say her name was Lily? So remember this family. They mentioned it at Smart's Grove, and again, everything's been such a whirlwind recently that I was trying to decide whether they were talking about the one that happened however long ago that was. It was a car wreck in front of the school, so, but this morning you mentioned that, I understood it was something that was. Oh, okay, so that didn't happen at the school. Okay. So remember this.
He prayed for
Greg and put
in his
water. Yes.
And he doesn't have a lot of tests
with
his heart too, so
check on that. Amen. Amen. Remember Brother Scott, he's supposed to be up tomorrow and have his kidney stones taken out and just, you know, some sharing. He's already mentioned, really appreciate the Lord stepping in on the situation. I appreciate how he shows us, you know, his sovereignty. And you know, I was telling some of them that, you know, a lot of the naysayers in the world will say, well, if God, you know, he was such a great God, he would have just kept him from getting cancer to begin with. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a cursed world with cursed bodies and stuff's going to happen. So I think when he does that, he shows us what could be if it were not for his mercy upon us. You know, and we see those things and we realize that, it's just like we talked about foundations the other day, he is a great God. And as Preacher Stoney always says, and that just, when you said it this way, it blessed my heart, because it really makes a lot of things clear, is it doesn't make sense to ask why bad things happen to good people, because for one thing, learning. But the real question is, why do good things happen to bad people? And then all of a sudden, it all makes sense to them. Yes, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. That sort of got back in my mind a minute ago, and I lost it. But yeah, remember them. Especially little Lucy. Last I heard, she was doing okay, right? But still, I mean, that's, you know, it's hard when little ones get sick. It's hard enough when these big ones get sick, but it's even less when little ones get sick. So
remember
that. Remember
my dad's church. They need a lot of prayer.
Okay. Amen. Remember this.
Not now, they're without a preacher, because he had a massive stroke about 4 months ago. They said he still can't.
Thank you. The largest landowner in the United
is the United States government.
Yep.
That's the guy coming from Teddy Roosevelt. I still like Teddy Roosevelt, but like I said, and by the way, Donald Trump's not perfect either.
Right.
Okay? But this is the problem. Because of what happened in 2016, because I felt so good about the way things were going, I got lazy in 2017 and 18, and most of 19. You know why? Because I said, well, you know what? I can sit back, I can keep my feet up, I can take it easy now. I don't have to worry about it no more. You know, it's going to be all right. And I took for granted what God had done.
Yeah.
And I just assumed that what was would always be. What we need to do right now is, instead of becoming lazy and content with what's going on, we need to be prepared to pray harder than ever. We need to thank God for the opportunity we've been given.
Yeah.
To have the religious freedom that we do in this country.
Amen.
And to be, you know, fairly sure that it's not going away in the next 3 years, 3.5 years or so. And so we need to be praying now more than ever. And this is the thing. The freedom that we have does not come from men and their laws.
Right.
It comes from God.
Amen.
It comes from God working through people, yes. Just like the gospel is the power of God of the salvation.
Yeah.
But he uses the foolishness of preaching to bring them that are lost into belief. Amen.
Amen.
Because they're condemned because they believe not in the name of the only begotten Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. But to believe is to be saved.
Hey.
And the only way they can believe is if they hear the gospel.
Yes.
The same way God uses men to make laws, and we thank God that we have the nation that we have, the freedom that we have, the structure that we have, the republic that we have, where that it's governed not by one man, it's governed not by a couple of people, but the powers are distributed.
Yes.
So as nobody has too much power in one position. And I thank God for that. Our forefathers understood that, and they knew that. If you think all this stuff is boring, kids, you ought to learn up on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they teach in schools anymore. I mean, we were taught this stuff when I was in elementary school. I don't know why they don't seem to really, you know, practice teaching these things anymore. It's important for you to understand how your government works.
Yes.
You know why? Because it is a gift of God.
Yes.
And if we do not fight to keep it, then we will lose it.
Yes.
And we will lose religious freedom in this country. There could very well be a time where you do not see churches being able to come together and worship together and praise God together. And so you need to be on guard, meaning that you need to be vigilant. You need to be praying. You need to be exercising that freedom that you have to tell others the gospel. Listen, if you're worried about losing your job for telling the gospel, then God is not your source. That means your job is your source.
Yeah.
Hey, God is your source. Okay? Anything and everything else is just a resource by which your source uses to take care of you. Guess what? Elijah fled and went to the wilderness. God sent the ravens down there to carry him bread. Amen. The children of Israel went out into the wilderness and away from Israel, lost in the desert. God rained down bread from heaven. And then they got tired of that, and they complained. They said that bread was sweet, and it's like wafers mingled with honey. It makes me think of the old cornbread they used to have at Cooksville Grill. I don't think they got that same cornbread anymore. But it used to be it was almost like a pound cake, you know? That's what it always made me think of. But they got tired of that, and they complained. And so God sent them quail, and the quail would just flock in there to them, and they would eat that. And the point being is God's able to provide. Yeah. We can trust God now. I say this about myself all the time. I'm bad to just not trust God. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean you don't trust God? You're a preacher. You don't trust God more than anybody. Yeah, hey, I try my best.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's never given me a reason to doubt it.
Right.
Never. But this old flesh just fights against that and wars about something awful.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time just trusting God. And a lot of times I want to try to do things myself, and I want to have some security in something other, and I want to be able to, you know, feel good about some kind of situation, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to feel good about the way things is because it's in the White House.
Right.
I don't want to feel good about the way things is because what kind of health coverage I got. I don't want to feel good about it because of what kind of retirement plan I got. Or I don't want to feel good about it because of anything that I'm capable of. Because at the end of the day, I know this, that all my provision, plus a whole lot more, every good and perfect
comes from above, the Father of lights. It all comes from God. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to say this, the one that gives it, he can take it away.
Yes.
Hey, I want to say this, and guess what? He's still a good God if he took it all away. That's what Job said. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I remember whenever our home got flooded in 2020 and we're standing there on the bank watching 6 foot of water in our house with all of our wedding pictures, all of the pictures we had from our kids when they was little babies, and Parker and when he was just a little young, and all the keepsakes, and I had a bunch of ammo and guns and all kinds of things just getting ruined down there. And I remember my wife looking at me, and she said, honey, what are we going to do? And I looked at her, and I said, honey, I said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. I said, he saved our lives, he spared us in this, and you know what? I seen the goodness of God in that end.
Yes.
And I would say this, he's never given me a reason to doubt, but yet, somehow or another, I always want to doubt him. And I always want to have some kind of backup plan. And that's what we try to do. That's the nature of the flesh. We always want to have some kind of, well, in case God don't come through. Has the storehouses of heaven went empty?
Right.
Hey, I'm talking about a place that's paved with gold. You know what that means? That means that up there ain't worth nothing but stuff to walk on. It ain't nothing but paving material.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the God of heaven. Has he run out of resource to be able to lend to us? Is that what's happened? No, absolutely not. Hey, I want to say this. Has God got tired and don't want to put forth the effort? Has the God of heaven, the one who created everything that you see and can touch and feel and done it all in 6 days, has he run out of the energy and the willpower to do good to his people? Absolutely not. I want to say this. Has the power of the blood of Jesus diminished in any way whatsoever? There is no possible way. That blood has more value, more power than all the gold and all the platinum and all the diamonds in the world. And so why is it that we struggle to trust him? Why is it that we struggle to put absolute faith in him? I want to say this, that now, more than ever, we ought to trust God. I'm sorry. I know I'm rambling on this morning. I wasn't intending to do this. I was going to get up here and say something. And I was going to preach, I was going to finish from Psalm 127, and I'm not going to. I don't know what I'm doing. Listen.
Amen. Blessing
the Lord. We'll finish Psalm 127. First of all, I'm going to read this. How many of you come to camp meeting? Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Y'all remember Mike Bagwell preaching?
Yeah.
Y'all tell me what he preached on?
Not repeat that.
So. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can't remember where it was at, but just remember that. I can remember. How many of y'all know Mike Bagwell?
Yeah.
Y'all, do y'all remember him?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know who Mike Bagwell is, he's a little preacher. He's about 75 years old, a little bit smaller than Preacher Matthew. And I can just see him up there, and he said that several times. He's throw that fist.
Yeah.
He said, break out their teeth, oh God. That's what he talks about. That's a pretty good impersonation, man. But I can just see him saying that. You know, all throughout the spring and the summer and this fall, I'd get to pray.
Yes.
And I remember seeing Mike Bagwell up there, a preacher, he'd say, break out their teeth. And I'd pray it, and I'd say, God, break out the teeth of the wicked.
Yeah.
Remove their power from
us. Yes.
That's what
he's
talking about over there in Psalm. It's in Psalm 58. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. I'm just going to do a little recap of what he preached, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want us to remember something this morning. That God is the one that's on the throne.
Yes.
I want us to remember something this morning. He is our source. He's the one that has the authority. Hey, his power is not diminished in any way whatsoever. Hey, I'll tell you, he requires no votes. He requires no support.
Right.
He requires no celebrity endorsement. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
He is the God of heaven. He is the supreme ruler of all that there is in creation. Hey, I want to say this, if there is another universe outside of this, if there is another galaxy, if there is another planet that's able to be inhabited, I can't tell you all that, but I can tell you this, he's the ruler of it all.
Yeah.
He is all. Our trust in him. Why? Because he loves us.
Amen.
And he's good to us. This great and this wonderful. this mighty God loves sinners like you and I, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Now that plays into what I was going to preach in Psalm 127 a little bit, if we think about it. Because like I said, gold don't mean nothing to God. That ain't nothing but paving material for him. Fine jewels don't mean nothing to God. He's got walls made out of them. But you know what does mean something to him? Is his own Son.
Yes.
The Bible says in Psalm 27, I was going to read it where it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. That means that's your inheritance for your father.
Yes.
While you're working so hard and slaving away to get all these things that's going to perish and be left behind, God's, if you're a parent and you've got children, God's already given you the greatest gift that you couldn't have bought.
Right.
You couldn't have purchased that. The other day I was listening to Parker, and he's playing the Jaws theme song. And I thought, that's pretty cool on the piano. He's on the piano, he's playing the Jaws theme song. And I thought, man, you know, that's pretty cool. I don't have any talent like that. And then Stephanie just tells me, she says, you know, he's never seen music for that. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, he's never learned that. She said, he's just heard that and figured out how to play. I said, really? I said, ain't no way.
Yeah.
And she said, yes. Yeah. I said, that's how he figures out how to play all the songs. I didn't know that. I thought he had, you know, looked it up or had a book or something. I didn't know that he's over there playing all kinds of songs, you know, like the Star Wars theme song and I don't even know, a bunch of theme song type stuff like that. And that's just amazing to me. And I thought, man, you know, that's just amazing that God can put that kind of gift in somebody.
Yeah.
And I went to work all week and I had a video and playing that. I've showed everybody. And everywhere I've went, I've showed everybody. You know, it made me so proud. Dear, look at my gun. You know what I mean? Look what he can do. You know, ain't that just wonderful? And I told him, I said, that's just a gift from God.
Yes.
And it just blessed my heart. The other day, no, not you. Kinsley, I'm going to brag on you, okay? Is that okay? I want to brag on you, okay? The other day, Robin sent me a video. They was eating Twin Brothers over there. They had somebody over there singing. And Kinsley went and requested that they sing Amazing Grace. And he said that she wanted them to sing Amazing Grace because she wanted people in there. She wanted them to hear the gospel. She wanted them to hear that. She wanted to be a witness to them. And he took a video of it, and I said, man, that's something to be proud of right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing you want to share with your buddies. And ain't nothing to give that feeling, preacher, besides the youngins. And seeing them do something or be able to accomplish something that you know that you couldn't do. Whenever they get to doing something that you know you couldn't do, that's whenever you really begin to say, man, that tickles you to death, you know. I don't want my kids to do as good as me. I want to do a whole lot better than I ever did. You know, I want them to, I'm not talking about making a life for themselves. They don't have to. I told them, if I don't care if they're garbage men or flipping burgers at McDonald's or whatever, I just want to see them serve God.
Yeah.
I want to see them using all that they got in them to just please the Lord and make Jesus happy. And I'll tell you this, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life, is that's ever been given to me, is them kids. They didn't cost me a thing. Well, they've cost me a lot since then. But to give, they didn't cost me a thing. But I couldn't have bought them. There wasn't no amount of money in the world could have made these three youngins of mine the way that they are and who they are. And I thank God for them. And they're a heritage from the Lord. I mean, that's what God had value in. That's the inheritance that he saw to give to his children of their own. And I thank God for that. And then he had his own son, who was, and out of all the children that he says is so precious in his sight, and all the children that he counts amongst his treasures, that he counts amongst something that he'd want to leave for an inheritance to those that belong to him. He says this about his own son. He says, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Amen. And then we see that John saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And he filled him with all manner of knowledge and wisdom. And it was because that was his own flesh and blood. That was the precious Lamb of God. Amen. That was the Son of God. He had the power then and there in that moment. If he had wanted to, he could have put an end to all God to destroy every man, woman, and child in existence, then, now, or at any time in between. I'm going to say that it would have lined up perfectly. But however, thank God that He's also a merciful God.
Amen.
And a loving God.
Yes.
That's why it means so much to hear that when God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, because it meant that much to Him. Now I just want to read this, and I'm not going to take long. It's not going to be long this morning. I would preach on Psalm 127. We'll get to it. But I just want to read this in Psalm 58 this morning. I don't know about y'all. I don't know if y'all realize it, but we've had something happen this week that is a once-in-a-generation thing. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. This was an act of God that, you know, you don't see very often. An act of mercy. Let's look at this. In Psalm 58, the Bible says this. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness, ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, God, for the power, God, of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, this morning, God, that your word be preached, empowered you to encourage your people, and bring conviction to us, Lord, that we might just stay on the straight and narrow path, trusting you with everything that's in us, and knowing, God, that you are God, and there is none else. It's in Jesus' name we beg. Amen. Mike Badwell preached this in, what was it, four nights? Was it four nights? Was it five? Four or five? Did we start on Monday or Sunday?
I think he started his message on Sunday.
Did we start camping on Monday or Sunday?
Monday.
Okay, well, it's four nights. It was Curtis Palmer come Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday night we started with Keith Allison.
That's right.
Right. Sunday night, Monday night, we come here. Is that right? I believe that's what it is. Anyways, he preached on this in four messages. And I'm just gonna give us a little recap and remind us. And I'm gonna fast forward a little bit, and I just want to start there in verse 6 where he says, break out their teeth. That's what I kept saying. I kept praying that. I kept saying that. And he's talking about, he says, break out the teeth of the young lions. He's saying, remove their power. If you take the claws off a cat and the teeth out of it, you know, it ain't much danger no more, right? You know what I mean? And you know, if you had a small cat and you want to let your kids play with it, if you could get them teeth out and, you know, get the claws off, then you ain't gonna worry about scratching the kid. But if you got a big cat, you know, you want to play with it, and the same way, you ain't gonna worry about it hurting you if you can take the teeth out and if you can take the claws out. So what he's saying is this, essentially saying, remove their power. He said, don't let them have any teeth to bite with.
Right.
Don't let them have any claws to claw with. He said, take the power away. That's what he was praying.
Yeah.
And you know, and Mike Bagwell was making the point to say this, and you know, I've thought about this. You see this in the Psalms. There's a collection of Psalms right here within this same Psalm that, you know, it's kind of going along these same lines. They call prayers of imprecation. It just seems to me this, you're praying God's judgment upon his enemies.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And that's what we've been seeing. That's what we've been seeing. I'm not talking about my enemies.
Right.
My enemies have names, and you know, I know who they are, and they're not my best interest at heart. But you know, I'm talking about people that don't even know my name. They care less, and they're only my enemies because they're God's enemies. You know why? Because I stand with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I stand with the truth. I stand with the Word of God. Whenever the Bible says and teaches and gives us the precept to know that life begins at the moment of conception, and the children are a heritage of the Lord, that it is a gift from God, amen. Then when you've got others that want to murder babies in the womb and go as far as to say that if somehow it makes it out alive, we'll just leave it on the table and let it die. Hey, I want to say this, that goes against the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says God created he them male and female. And it says that from the beginning it was so that one man should be married to one woman. And then you go and you teach these little youngins. I'm talking about 5 and 6 and 7 year olds that don't even understand how long a lifetime is. And they're pushing drugs and they're pushing operations on them so that a boy will become a girl or try to. Or that a girl will try to become a boy. Hey, I'm going to say this. That is not being inclusive. That's being perverse is what that is. And it goes against the Word of God. And so we stand for the Word of God. I'm not standing for a political party,
amen.
The problem is whenever they start politicizing things that should be moral things. Amen. Crime shouldn't be a political issue. Crime is crime.
Right.
If somebody steals, they're punished.
Amen. Yeah.
You don't let them steal a certain amount. If somebody crosses the border illegally, it's a crime.
Yeah.
By all means, this is the land of freedom. If I lived in another country, I'd want to get here too.
Yeah.
But hey, if you do it the right way, then by all means, come on, I say.
Yeah.
Amen. We're glad to have you. If you want to assimilate and become an American, then praise God. We want you to come here, but you're going to have to do things our way. This is going to make our whole country your way.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But they start politicizing these issues. Now, when he says break out their teeth, he's praying. He's talking about God's enemies. He's talking about people like Saul, King Saul, who have went and done things like tried to make a sacrifice himself and take up the job of the priesthood and said, I'll do it my way and I'll give to God my way. And then he went and he hired a witch.
Yeah.
And he got that witch to bring up a spirit to give him guidance. And he's there basically taking directions from a demon at this point.
Yeah.
And he's done all that. He's doing it so that he can try to kill David. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kill David. He wants to take the kingdom for himself. He don't want David to be able to have it. And he's already been shown, and God's already sent some to tell him that said, we're going to take you off the throne. God's already decided this is the way it's going to be. And he's trying to hold on to that power. What do we see? We see that God takes away his power.
Yes.
Little by little. You know why? Because David prayed. And I don't know if this was concerning Saul. I feel like probably it was. It could have been concerning some of David's other enemies. He didn't just kill that giant one time and it was over with the Philistines. David fought his Philistines the entire time he was king.
Yeah.
It could have been whenever he was having some issues with his son. What was his name? Somebody help me. Absalom. Absalom had killed one of his other sons. And Absalom, I believe, before that was one of his favorite sons. And y'all know you ain't supposed to have favorites, but I believe David did the way that it talks about him. And he was very fond of him. And he put him away, and they was kind of enemies with one another. But he says this, he says in his prayer, he says, break out their teeth, O God. Then he says this, he says, let them melt away as waters which run continually. Unless you put a pitcher or cup in the way to catch water coming down the stream, it ain't going to be there for just a second. It's just going to keep it going.
Yeah.
He said,
Lord, I pray that they just come through and keep us going.
Yeah.
Especially what he's saying. He said, I just pray that they come through and they keep us going. Now, keep in mind as I say this, keep in mind everything that's transpired. He said, break the effort. He said, take their power away. Mm-hmm. He said, let them come, but let them just keep going.
Yeah.
And then he says this. He says, let them melt away. He says, when he has been with his bow, shoot his arrow. Let them be as cut in pieces as a snail which melted. You ever put salt on a snail? I remember I stood at my grandma. She said, that's the meanest thing. She said, my grandma, she said, you got the devil in you. She'd say, why? I have another grandma on Mount Lapine. And she put me up to it. She'd say, everything to get us on my fires, I get my garden. She'd say, you got it. She'd say, here, take some salt. But my other grandma, I'm off the nut, y'all with her. She, everything's the devil. She's like, always with Shay's mom. But that's what she'd say. She'd say, you got the devil in you. So that's awful. Don't put salt on God's animals and you kill them like that, you know. And she just thought that was the awfulest thing. A lot of people probably still would. You know, they've been trying to save the snails and everything else. But here David's praying. He said, let them be like that snail I poured salt on when I was young in God. You remember when I poured salt on that thing just wadded up and just melted into a pile of goo. And it just eat away at it. He said, God, I pray that you do that to these people that hate you, these people that despise you. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But just like we was talking about earlier, God uses people to instrument his will.
Yeah.
The principalities and powers, they institute people to get the will of Satan done as well. Amen?
Yeah.
And so those people are standing for what's wrong. And he says, God, I tell you, pray that you take away the power, let them melt away as a snail's had salt for them. If you kids ain't never done that, I recommend you go home and do that. And you pray. You say, God, I pray that your enemies would melt away as the snails and pour salt on. That's what David prayed. The man after God's own heart. If David prayed that, I'd say I can pray that.
Yeah.
If David prayed that, I'd say you can pray that.
Yeah.
Amen? He says this. He says, before your pots can, let me back up here. Verse 8, he says, the snail which melts, let every one of them pass away. He said, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. He's talking about the miscarriage. He said, let them not even come to fruition.
Yeah.
He says, let their powers, let their plans, let their plots not even be given a full birth while they're yet in the process and forming and being formed. He's saying, let them die. Well, the Bible says this. It says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, right?
Yeah.
He said, whatever that they're devising to do, whatever wickedness they're devising, he says, let it fall flat on his face.
Yeah.
Amen. And this is my point for saying all this, is we have seen God answer these prayers.
Yeah.
Because, I don't want to give up my rejoicing over risking hurting somebody's political feelings.
Yeah.
I want to give God glory, amen.
Because
it's a God thing.
Yeah.
I ain't going to sit there and brag on the president or whoever else. Hey, he is... President Trump, he's a great president. He's a sorry man. I'm just going to tell you, he is. Okay?
Yeah.
But I'm a sorry man too. Amen?
Yeah.
And we all are. We all got our own problems. But I want to say this, that the fact that there's somebody ain't going to be in the White House, once again, it puts America first, it allows religious freedom, that is an act of God.
Yeah.
And so I'm not bragging on him, I'm bragging on God.
Amen.
And I'm going to thank God. That part I do not care who it offends, because I'm thanking God. I'm giving God the glory.
Yes.
I'm saying thank you, Lord. I'm saying, God, you raise up kings. You settle down. That's the word of God. That ain't my words. I'm saying, God, you are the only one. There is none beside you. You and you alone. That's the word of God. That's not my words. Hey, I'm thanking the God of heaven this morning. I'm rejoicing in what he's done. I'm rejoicing in who he is. Amen. And I'm praying and saying, God, don't let me get lazy now. God, don't let me give up now and sit back and just act like the fight's over with. God, give me an unction in my heart to give the gospel out to this whole dying, lost world and to be able to take advantage and not take for granted the religious freedom that I have in this country.
Yeah.
Hey, to stand for what's right, to stand for
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says this, verse 10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance.
Yes.
He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Amen. You ever watch a movie and it's got some kind of bad guy? And he's doing bad stuff. There's some kind of hero, you know.
Yeah.
And at the end they have some kind of big battle. And the hero, just by the skin of his teeth, is able to beat him. But that bad guy gets what he deserves.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, you know. And it just tickles you to death, you know. Kind of for somebody in my generation younger, y'all remember this, you know, I'm Iron Man. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. It's from that last Avengers movie. If you don't know, it's Avengers fame. But long story short, you know, that's how he beats the big bad guy. For, you know, some of you older folks, it might be some other movie or something, you know, John Wayne, you know, Rooster Cogburn, whatever it was. You know, but anyways, you like to see the good guy come out on top. Mm-hmm. I hate movies whenever the good guy don't come out on top.
Yeah.
That's just a stinking movie.
Yeah.
That feels like I've wasted an hour and half of my life. I'm like, I took time to watch a movie and y'all didn't write it right. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not sorry. But whenever that, but what really makes it feel good is this, is that old bad dude, he gets what's coming to him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this, that one day God ain't going to have to collect no stones, nor have no special goblet. There's not even going to have to be a snap. He has to make no declaration whatsoever.
Yeah.
His mere presence will cause every knee to bow.
Amen.
And every tongue to confess that the Lord, He is God. There ain't going to be no battle that's won by the skin of His teeth. There's going to be a battle, but it's going to be a landslide victory.
Amen.
He's going to overwhelm His enemies so hard that there'll never be a challenger rise against Him for all of eternity.
Yep. Amen.
He's going to overwhelm them so deeply and so badly, and everyone that'll make it into eternity will witness it all forever. And it'll be so overwhelming that the righteous, being those who have been born again by the blood of Jesus, had the Holy Spirit put in their heart, been given that renewed mind, says that they'll rejoice whenever they see the vengeance of God taken out on the wicked.
Yeah.
Says they'll wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Yeah. Says that we would know that He's a rewarder of the righteous.
Yeah.
He is the judge on earth. Amen. I'm glad to know that one day God, who is sovereign, who is in control, by the way, that He will have absolute judgment upon earth. And I'm going to say this. Donald Trump could go, he could do a lot of great things for his nation. If he's never born again, he'll die and go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
What he does for America does not change the fact of where he goes for eternity.
That's right.
Yep.
The only thing that changes that, the only thing that has any effect whatsoever about where you spend eternity is if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the precious Son of God. And so first and foremost, I'd say this morning, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and only Him, if you have never been born again and asked Him to come into your heart and save you, so that you would be spared hellfire, I would invite you to come this morning and say, Lord, save me. Come to this altar and pray to God. I can't pray it for you. It's a thing that's between you and God and you and God alone. I would invite you to come and say, God, I need to be saved. I know that you're a God that's willing to save me. I know that you love me and you want to save me. And ask God to come into your heart this morning. He will. He'll give you more than you ever could have imagined. And I'm not talking about riches and money and all of them things. Right. I'm talking about something that's far more valuable. I'm talking about He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah. I'm talking about He is the mighty counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. And I'll tell you, He'll be with you in the hardest times of your life. He'll be with you in the best of times.
You will be times you'll turn your back on him and he won't turn his back on you. I'm talking about he'll be there. We're better than your daddy or mama or anybody ever thought about being. Hey, I want to say he's there. He's there better than a spouse or child or anything else. And further than that, he'll carry you on into his kingdom. Despite your sin, despite your weakness. If you believe on him this morning, he didn't come to call you to start obeying every law. He came to call you to repentance that you might be forgiven.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes,
sir. You know why? Because you can't obey all the law.
That's right.
You can strive. You can try. By all means you should. But you're still going to fail. At the end of the day, you must depend on the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you this morning, is anybody here this morning that just needs to come and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being a good God and having mercy on our nation. Not just on our nation, but think about the mercy he has in your life every single day. I just don't think we thank him enough. We don't praise him enough. That's what he wants from his people. He just wants some glory. He wants some honor. He wants to praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
Sometimes that's not in the form of a shout and fit, but just a simple bowed head with a tear and saying, thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me once again. Looking down on me and blessing me. I look at my family. I look at all that God's done for me. I look at this wonderful church. I look around and I see so many answered prayers. I see people that's been healed. I see family members of people that's been healed. I see children that's been born. And I see God that's just answered so many prayers. And I say, thank you, Lord. I see families that God's renewed their love for one another and helped them. I see men that have struggled and God's helped them. I see women God's struggled and struggled, God's helped them. I see children, I see young people here. It's been through many difficult things that nobody knows about, but the Lord knows them. And he's had people pray for him. He's helped them. We've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. As I pray this morning, why don't you just thank God? Just tell him thank you. Just let him know that you love him. Just let him know you appreciate who he is, and what he's doing, what he's done, and what he will do. He's always good. Even in the hard times, he's good. And he doesn't allow us to even go through not one little thing without great purpose in it. Remember that. And let's trust him and thank him this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. God is a sinner and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying me through your word. And, Lord, through fellowship with other believers, through the preaching of your word, and through Holy Ghost conviction. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail you. And, Lord, I confess that I fail you often. Lord, that I am just a miserable wretch. God, at the end of the day, I need more than anything your grace and your mercy. Lord, that's where my dependence must lie. God, I thank you, Lord, for having mercy and grace that is sufficient, as you say. And you fulfill your promise. You uphold your end of the deal. Just continue to forgive and have mercy on me. And Lord, would you sanctify me all the more? God, that I live a life that would glorify you. I want to thank you this morning for answering prayers. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for helping my marriage with my wife. Lord, helping me with my relationship with my children. I thank you, Lord, for helping me, Lord, with my relationship with my church. Thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom and discernment. Forgive me, Lord, where I failed to seek you for advice and guidance and things. And Lord, put a block and a stop in my way that I might just always seek you first. I thank you for all my many wonderful friendships, Lord. The friends and the
the acquaintances, the fellowship that I have, the brethren of God that I have. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's at this altar, God, that you meet the needs of them. I thank you for our nation, the freedom that we have. Let us not take it for granted, Lord. I pray for our leaders this morning, God, that you just help them, Lord. If it be your will, I pray, God, that you'd save them. Lord, even them that are wicked, God, I pray that you'd have mercy and save them if it be your will. Lord, if it's not your will, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd remove them out of the way. God, just break out the teeth of those, Lord, that seek to oppose your throne. God, help us to cast down the strongholds and imaginations, everything that has exalted itself against you and against your word. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to fight, Lord, to overtake the gates of hell. God, that they could not stop the force that is your children actively participating in faith and worship and pursuing to teach and proclaim the gospel. Let us be lights in the world, I pray. Help me, God, not to be slothful nor lazy in my endeavoring to serve you. God, help me in my life to put as much effort into that as I do anything, Lord, before anything else. I thank you, Lord, for always going before me and fighting my battles for me. Lord, you protect me, my family, this church, and I thank you for it. I pray that you touch every need that's on every heart this morning. Everyone that's going through a time of brokenheartedness, I pray that you lift them up. Lord, just encourage them and remind them, God, that you're still on the throne and that you're still good. And help us to give praise to you and be reminded, God, of how good you are. That we lift up joy in our hearts and our minds for just how wonderful and great you are, that we just give honor and praise to your name. Lord, we ask these things this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right. With all hearts and minds clear. I love God. I appreciate you. Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night. Here at Liberty Go.